Today's debates about economic and social conditions seem geared around the needs of the middle class. Commentator Gerald Early says it's time to examine some of our presumptions about the middle class.
Since the last election, there has been a great deal of talk about the disaffected American middle class. Yet in America, there are many middle classes, not just one. And while these various middle classes share several features and concerns, there are vital differences in their responses to the nature of middle class life. For instance, the black middle class, because of its history, has an ambivalent view of itself. Right after the Civil War, the black middle class was largely an aristocracy composed of more educated light-skinned or biracial blacks, those who had been artisans on plantations, and many who had been free before the war. This changed in the 1920s when the black middle class became a professional class made up of teachers, preachers, lawyers, doctors, and generally the college-educated. But the class was always a hodgepodge of the professional, the white-collar, and the blue-collar. Black postal clerks, police officers, office secretaries, auto workers, and retail sales clerks were considered middle class in the 1950s. There has been a big increase in the ranks of the professional black middle class in the last 20 years, in part because of affirmative action. I am one such person who became a middle class professional through this policy. But being black and middle class has always involved more than money. It is a state of mind. If the middle class generally feels frustrated and fearful about high taxes, bad schools, sex and violence in the media, and unresponsive government, the black middle class is even more overwhelmed by insecurity and powerlessness. They are a class that historically, because of racism, has never been able to function as a true elite, crippled as they were by white philanthropy, segregation, and color phobia. They are even more precarious economically than whites as their middle class status is more threatened by economic downturns. Although catered to as consumers by a number of magazines, radio, and television shows, the black middle class lacks political leverage other than the race card and economic leverage other than its urge to consume. They are racked by identity problems for which Afrocentrism and hip-hop are proposed as the latest cures. They divorce at a high rate. They are stridently anti-intellectual and not as philanthropic as they should be. Not a single observation here is new. E. Franklin Frazier made them all and more besides in his famous 1957 book, The Black Bourgeoisie, that so stunned black folk at the time of its publication. Nonetheless, unlike many white members of the middle class, they have not turned against those below them, even though they are more distressed by the poor than most in the middle class, as they are more victimized by crime and pay larger property taxes. The black middle class still seeks human solidarity, indeed feels that solidarity is the most important expression of their blackness and their humanity. Perhaps they do not always practice this solidarity, yet they see their civic identity and fate as tied to the black poor, as perhaps free blacks saw their fate tied to their brothers and sisters in slavery. That our fate is tied to those below, and that there can be no good life for some without a good life for all, is an idea that we can never, as Americans, abandon. For it is that idea that will give the entire American middle class finally its purpose and its hope for the future.
Gerald Early is a professor of English at Washington University in St. Louis and author of the book The Culture of Bruising, which has been nominated for a National Book Critics Circle Award for criticism.